This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Yesterday, the Department of Labor issued its monthly numbers on employment and unemployment in this country. And the report said that the United States in April gained 288,000 jobs. That is the biggest increase in 1 month in 2 years. I think about half of those jobs came from being analysts at CNN on the Malaysian Airlines plane story. The unemployment rate ticked down four notches from 6.7 to 6.3%. That's the lowest in 5 years. All this looks pretty good, but because I don't know how to dig into these numbers and see what they really say, I've called upon my brother to help out. Seth Harris used to be the acting Secretary of Labor for the United States and is now a distinguished scholar at Cornell University and counsel at the law firm Dentons. Hi, Seth. How are you today?
I'm well, Paul.
Were these really good numbers, and do they tell us great things are coming?
Well, at the top line, they're good numbers. As you said, 288,000 new jobs is the most we've had in a couple of years. 273,000 of those jobs were in the private sector, which is exactly what we want to see. And the decline in the unemployment rate seems to be good news, but if you go down a second or third level, there's actually cause for concern in some of these numbers. First of all, the job creation number is sort of a bounce back from a very rough winter where job creation was really quite mediocre, in some cases bad. The decline in the unemployment rate is even more troubling. Part of the reason, or a big part of the reason why the unemployment rate went down, is that hundreds of thousands of people gave up looking for work. And even more troubling, hundreds of thousands of people under the age of 25 who you would have expected to join the labor market, meaning that they were going to start looking for jobs, did not. We had a 417,000 person decline in new entrants into the labor market. That is very bad news. It means that people are getting the signal that they shouldn't start looking for work because they're not going to find jobs. And those people who are in the labor market who are long-term unemployed are just giving up hope. That is partly because Congress cut off their emergency unemployment compensation, so they really don't have economic support that they need, and so they're not looking for work. If you get unemployment insurance, you're required to look for jobs. Without that money, they don't have a reason to do it, and also they don't have a basis for doing it. They don't have the income support that they need. And so overall labor force participation, which is a measure of people who are working or looking for work, went down to the tied for the lowest level we've seen in many, many decades. It is, so that is troubling news. Now, it could be that if we see job creation up around 300,000 sustained over a period of months, that will turn around. People will come back into the labor market. Young people will say, yes, I need to go and get a job. There are plenty of jobs available. But right now, that's not the experience that working people are having.
You tweeted yesterday about this unemployment rate drop maybe being a decline in participation, and you tweeted that if the labor market were tightening, then hourly earnings would climb.
That's exactly right. So this is basic economics 101. When you don't have enough of something, people bid up the price. They pay more for it in order to be able to get it.
Yep.
So if we had too few workers, or if the labor market were getting tight, meaning employers are trying to hire people and they can't find them, what they would do is they would raise wages so they would be able to hire more people. For decades in the United States, most workers have not seen a increase in their real wages, meaning wages adjusted for inflation. Wages have been flat for most workers for a long time, and the last couple of months have been perfectly consistent with that. Last month, average hourly earnings, meaning how much you take home for an hour of work, went down a penny. This month it went up a penny, so it absolutely flattened out. It's only up about 2% over the course of the last year. That's basically keeping pace with inflation. People don't have a lot of money, and employers are not paying them more money in order to get them. And that, let me just say, that's very bad for the economy. Two-thirds of the American economy is people buying things. It's consumers spending money. And what's happening in the economy now is that workers and other middle-class families are taking money out of savings and spending rather than putting some money into savings for college and for houses and for other things that they really need over the long term, and then spending increases in their income in the economy. They're robbing Peter to pay Paul. That is not good for the economy, and it's not sustainable over the long haul.
You mentioned keeping up with inflation. One thing that has not done that is the minimum wage. And the battle over whether it should be raised had two different stories in the news this week. One was on Tuesday, Republicans in the Senate blocked efforts by the Democrats to introduce legislation that would raise the minimum wage federally to $10.10 an hour. Meanwhile, in Seattle, the mayor there was able to push through legislation changing the minimum wage in that city to $15 over the course of the next few years. Where do things stand in the greater effort to get the minimum wage at least to pay people a livable wage?
Well, in the states and in some cities, there has been a lot of progress made, and almost half the states now have minimum wages that are higher than the federal $7.25 an hour that is required now nationally. States are allowed to raise their minimum wage, and many state cities can raise their minimum wage, or they can require their contractors, the people who do business with the government, to pay more than the federal minimum wage. And so Seattle is an example of that. There's also a campaign going on around the country right now among fast food workers to get McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's and other fast food restaurants to pay $15 an hour to their workers. That's a private effort, not based on what government should do. But there is a complete logjam in Washington. Let me just say, you could say that about almost any issue right now, but certainly on the minimum wage, the Republicans have thrown down the gauntlet. They have said they are absolutely not going to support it. That has never been the case in the past. The minimum wage has been raised close to 40 times since it was first put in place during the New Deal era. It is regularly done. Only one or two presidents did not raise the minimum wage. Barack Obama looks like he may be the most recent one. The Republicans have basically made the same old argument that we've heard over and over again, which is that if you raise the minimum wage, people will lose jobs. There is study after study after study showing that that is not true. In fact, what happens is if you put money into the pockets of low-wage workers, every single dollar they get is going to be spent in the economy. And so small businesses in their communities, gas stations in their communities, landlords, other people will have more money because there will be more spending, and there is a growth effect that we see in the economy as a whole. It's not a huge growth effect, and I'm not going to say it's going to create jobs, but it will make those people's lives better, it will make their local economies better, and it will assure that there is not significant job loss or really even meaningful job loss anywhere in the economy as a result of raising the minimum wage.
And Seth, have we seen that hold true with current raises of the minimum wage at the state and city level?
We have. Actually, there was just a study that came out earlier this week that showed that in states that have higher minimum wages than the federal minimum wage and states that have higher minimum wages than other states, there's more job creation, not less job creation. So this argument about jobs is an unfortunate canard that's been out there for a long time, but there was new ammunition given to the Republicans by the Congressional Budget Office, which unfortunately put out a report that has been misleading in the way it's been covered, and it has been portrayed as saying that we'd lose 500,000 to 1 million jobs if the minimum wage went up to $10.10. Really what CBO said was there's a range of possibilities, and zero is a very good possibility, just as 500,000 jobs lost is a possibility as well. Zero is actually the best answer based on the best economic evidence. But the Republicans really don't want to see their allies in the restaurant industry and other industries have to pay more to their workers. And as long as wages stay flat, our economy is going to grow at a very tepid pace if it grows at all. Last quarter, January, February, March, the American economy basically did not grow at all. And a big part of the reason for that is that people do not have money to spend. That's what drives our economy, and they just don't have it right now.
And this is happening at a time when Wall Street is hitting, the Dow hit a new record high this week. Companies have more money locked up in cash than ever before. Some of our biggest parts of the S&P 500 are having some of their best years ever. They're just not hiring the money and putting it into the wallets of the people who work for them.
That's precisely what's happening, is that capital, meaning people who invest, are getting a much, much, much higher share of the return. than are working people. And, you know, there's productivity in the United States is growing. Workers are getting more productive every hour that they work at a very high rate.
It's unfortunately, it is not accruing to their bottom line, and therein lies the problem. Seth, always a pleasure having you on the show. Say hi to my nephews.
I will do that. Thanks.
Seth Harris, not only my brother, but the former acting Secretary of Labor, now a distinguished scholar at Cornell University and counsel at the law firm Dentons. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. Thanks for listening.